Good morning.
Good morning.
It is, as always, so very good to see everyone here. We appreciate very much your presence, your desire to come out and join with us this morning as we sing songs of praise to the Lord, as we spend time in studying His Word and striving to gain a better understanding of His will for us and how we can live in a way that is pleasing to Him. As we read in the scripture reading this morning, O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. When you read the Psalms, it's clear that the authors of these songs of praise and petition were very mindful of God. Go back to the first Psalm, Psalm 1. In the very beginning, you read, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now let's skip over to the end. Psalm 150. And as you look there in Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him in His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you can read pretty much every psalm in between. And you will see that the focus is on God and His Word and what it brings. Whether it's in good times and things are going great, or in not so good times. I mean, we read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all of my days, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even in the 51st Psalm, when David is writing this in the depths of despair, his child is about to die because of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. And Nathan has just said, you're the man. And in all of that, he turns to God and says, be gracious to me, O God. Cleanse me, wash my sins according to your loving kindness. Going back to our script reading there in Psalm 63 and verse 6, he says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. We need to spend our lives being mindful of God. When you look at what we've been studying this month, we began this month looking at when we partake of the Lord's Supper, that it's not something that we're to absent-mindedly do, that we're to give full attention to the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that we're to think of his flesh that was so cruelly treated and nailed to the cross, that we're to consider His blood that was shed, that precious, perfect blood, that sinless blood that was shed for our sins so that we could be forgiven and be made whole in the sight of God. We also looked at when we come together to worship, that it's not a, let's just come in here and keep our spot on the pew warm, or we check off, hey, we're here and we're good. That for our worship to be pleasing to God, for our worship to be that which brings us closer to God, it has to be mindful worship. We have to be present in that worship and truly mean the things that we're singing and the things that we're doing and following through and being present and in the moment in these things. And then last week we looked at how we need to live mindful lives. Living a life that is mindful of who we are, who we belong to, and keeping that focus as we go throughout our lives. But as I mentioned last week, this life is filled with distractions. It doesn't take very long for us to, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, back in the back, with the parable of the soils, we too often find ourselves like that seed that fell among the thorns. And it gets its roots going and it springs up, Everything looks great, but it's choked out. Its faith is choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. And there's a lot of cares and concerns in this world. It's legitimate cares and concerns, things that we need to be aware of and we need to be watchful of. And those things will pull us away from God. When I think about these things, I always think of Mary and Martha. When Jesus came to their house, and Martha's in there just preparing a way for all of her guests, doing what any good hostess would do. And she comes and says, "Would you tell Mary to come give me a hand? She's not helping at all." And he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about a lot of things. But Mary's chosen that one thing that really matters." She had her priorities straight. Was there a need for them to prepare? Sure. But right then, the master was speaking. The great teacher that the Israelites have been waiting for their entire existence was there teaching them. And Mary said, "This is a time for teaching." I can't remember if I've mentioned this here before, but when we lived in another city, I won't say the city, but we had a lady there that would invite us over to dinner on Sundays. And she would skip out with the last song so that she could get her rolls in the oven. And I told her, I said, "Look, if you want me to come in your house, I'll wait on those rolls if you'll wait to the end of service before you leave. Because there's something a lot more important than having fresh hot rolls ready to go as soon as I walk through your door." And we get so focused on all these other things and we're distracted and it pulls us away. And while it is of great importance that we be mindful in our worship, we need to make sure that we're living a mindful life, mindful of God, as we go throughout the week. And to be mindful of God in our lives, we begin by being mindful and spending time with God. James writes in James chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." When one looks at the lives of men of faith like David and Daniel, you can see that they were those who gave great attention and focus to spending time with God. David wrote a number of the Psalms. And again, as I've already mentioned, when you look at those Psalms, they are very focused on God and His goodness, His law, His word, and all that has been provided. When you look in Psalm 55, then verse 17, David writes here, he says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice." He says, "I'm going to pray to God three times a day." And this seemed to be a practice of Daniel as well. Remember when Daniel had this custom in Daniel chapter 6 of going and praying three times a day. And even when there was an edict given by the king saying, "You're not to petition anybody but the king. No gods, no anything but the king." What did he do? He kept that same habit that he had of going and praying in his upper chamber facing towards Jerusalem three times a day. You would think if there's anybody on earth that didn't have to focus and spend time on God, it would be Jesus, who had spent an eternity with God. And yet what do we find Jesus doing repeatedly in his ministry? In Mark chapter 1, there in verse 35, we read that in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. When you look in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Jesus saw the benefit in spending time in private devotion with God. To spend time in speaking to God, praying to God, communing with God. And he taught his disciples, this is something you need to be doing as well. If you look there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You see, the problem is, our lives are filled with distractions. I mean, everywhere you go, there's something that's trying to pull you away. I mean, we carry around devices that are nothing but distraction devices. Now, they can be used for focus as well. Don't misunderstand me. Let's not throw away the baby with the bathwater. But there are times when we need to look and to make sure that we are truly spending time with God, devoted, uninterrupted time with God. And I know that's very difficult. When you're a parent, you don't really get that time to yourself. You don't get to focus and to give the way that you think in having this time with God. But you see, when we spend time with God, when we give it the time and the attention that it deserves, it provides fuel for our spirit to get through the day. And we need to remember, we get so focused on helping everyone else. It's just like when you're in an airplane, and they're going through their whole spiel that when the oxygen mask drops, don't put it on your neighbor, put it on yourself first. Then you can help someone. And I've seen and experienced where you're so focused on helping everybody else that you burn yourself out and you are about to die spiritually. Why, you've been so focused trying to help everyone else. You become distracted from your own life and been trying to help and fuel others. You see, we need that spiritual nourishment in our lives. Jesus said to the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We can't live on just the things of this world. We are a spiritual being. That's what sets us apart from every creature on this earth. We're different because we are in the likeness of God. We have that spiritual aspect. And we need to have that spiritual food that will nourish the soul. And spiritual growth comes from the Word of God. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 23, he talks about that you're not born, that you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. We talked about this in the class this morning, the idea of, you know, with the parable of the soils and planting seeds, you know, what kind of ground do you put that seed into? You don't take a rock and place a seed on the rock and expect it to do anything. You don't go out and get a bunch of Mississippi clay and pack it down in there and set the seed on there and hope that it's going to do. You get good, loose soil that has been prepared and that is filled with nutrients. And that's the thing. The more we read the Word of God and the more we allow it to work in our hearts, the less hardened our hearts will be. And the more receptive and the greater roots that we'll be able to have, that as we, going back to Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, the one who meditates in his law day and night, he will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, who brings its fruit in its season. Never wilts. You see, God's Word provides spiritual strength. We talked about this earlier this year, of the spiritual armor that's provided by God. And all of these things are focused on what we receive from the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Going back to Psalm 119, there in verse 7, he says, I will give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Over the past couple of weeks, watching social media, all these parents have been running out and getting everything for their kids for school. I picked up a guy and his daughter a couple of days ago, and she was rattling off all of the different, for those of you who don't know, I drive for Uber and Lyft, and so I'm not just picking up random strangers. But I picked him up and was carrying him and his daughter, and she was going through all the things that the teacher said, we've got to have this, this, and this. And so they were having to make this last-minute run to get additional school supplies. And we do all that we can to prepare our kids for the start of a new year, make sure that they have pencils and paper and pens, and that they've got the materials that they need to succeed in school. But how often do we take the time to make sure that they're getting what they need to succeed spiritually in the face of all of the distractions they're going to be receiving in that school year? We need to make sure that we are encouraging that spending time with God. It provides us with the help that we need to fight the spiritual battles before us. Again, we live in a world that's anxious, filled with worry and anxiety. And yet Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The world is full of pitfalls, but going back to Psalm 119, there in verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God is there to show us where the danger is, to light the way so that we can avoid these pitfalls. Verse 165, "Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." Do you want to have this inner peace and outer stability? Well, it requires that we spend time with God. And more than ever, we need to take the time to spend time with God. We need to receive that spiritual nourishment that is available only through spending time with the Lord and receive the peace that can be brought about in our lives. The more time we spend with God, the more closer we're going to feel with Him. Again, going back to James, "Draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you." You see, just like any relationship, we can find ourselves getting so busy with so many different things that we don't have time for each other. And the relationships, whether it's mother and child or husband and wife, father and son, it doesn't matter. If we don't devote that time for each other, we draw away from one another. We find ourselves just, the relationship beginning to stagnate. To rebuild that relationship, it's necessary that we spend time together. And you'll see this with those who have maybe wasted their child's youth with them going off and making a living and never was at home, and they're trying to make up for that by doing special things with their kids and trying to have that quality time when they've been neglecting even the quantity and quality of time that had been available for all those years. The same thing can happen between us and God. One of my favorite parables is the parable of the prodigal son. And the thing that I love about that is that he chooses to leave. He separates from the father, but that father is always there waiting for him to come back. And it is running out to him when he does come back. But it wasn't until he was willing to make time. He says, "Oh, it'd be better for me to go back to my father's house and live there as a servant." He made that journey. We don't have, there's not some hidden closet of time where we can find time. And that's the thing. We often, when I find the time, I'll do this or that. And I don't know about y'all, but I've never found some big block of time that's just like, "Hey, I'm over here. If you want to do, you got to make time to do things." And what in the world is of greater importance than making time to spend with God? This requires that we set a time, a place, distraction free. "I don't have that time." I mean, we get up, we're rushing, we're getting the kids to school, and when we get home, they've got all these activities. When we're rushing, we're doing that. Make time. There is literally nothing more important than you caring for your spiritual needs by making time to spend with God. Chris Emerson has an excellent podcast called Excel Still More. And in his podcast, he talks about, one of the things that he decided this year was that he wanted to spend more time in reading the Word of God, spend more time in devoting time in studying God's word and to have these moments where he can just kind of focus. And, he talks about, whatever the time of day it is that you choose, make that time for God. Maybe you're really busy in the morning and you're really busy in the evening. Well, start going to bed a little bit earlier and get up a little bit earlier if that's what works for you. And he talks about how, he would start going to bed 5 minutes early. He'd cut the TV off and he'd go to bed a little bit earlier so he could get up earlier in the morning and have that quiet time that he could read the Word of God and he could think about what he's reading. He could spend time with his wife and kind of talking about the things that are going on throughout the day and preparing for the day before the kids woke up and before life became madness. We have to make the time. And it all comes down to priorities. Which is more important to you? Making sure that your kids get to school at a particular time and that they've got all the school supplies, or making sure that you are spiritually connected with God so that you can be a better influence on them as you begin your day and go throughout the day? We need to find a place, that a time where we can have no distractions. As we focus, reading the Word of God. Now, a lot of people go, well, I read the Word of God on my phone. Well, what happens? I've done that before. You're reading the Word of God on phone, somebody texts you. So you stop your reading and you read that text, or you get a Facebook notification or something. I'm all for Bibles on phones, and they're great to have, but there are times where we need to sit down and be distraction-free. I'm bad about, you know, sitting at my desk and I've got my computer up and I've got multiple tabs up on the internet along with my Bible program and everything, and I'll get this notification. I've learned at times when I need that distraction-free moment, I just turn everything off, set everything to the side, and give myself to just reading distraction-free and thinking about the things that I'm reading. You see, we have to make time, and you know, I think it's good to have a place, that place that you feel close to God. Maybe it's a little nook, or maybe it's outside on the front porch with your cup of coffee, and maybe there's not too many distractions with animals, and you can just really take the time to focus and read the Word of God. One of my favorite moments in all my years, I tried out to preach for a congregation in Oregon, and I was staying with one of the elders of the congregation there. They had this beautiful 5-acre farm and with a couple of cows and pigs, and you're in the Oregon, just the most beautiful part of Oregon. And I went out that Sunday morning before service, and I went out and sat at, they had a picnic table out there. I sat out there, and the weather was just perfect, and the sun was rising, and I was reading and communing, and I've searched to try to find that place again, and no matter where I've been, it's never been quite the same. But find that place. Remember, in Mark chapter 1, Jesus, in the early morning while it was still dark, he got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place. Jesus saw the need to remove all distractions. He went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And again, he tells the disciples, when you pray, go into your inner room. Close your door. And pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We need to remove the distractions. We need to make sure that we're doing what we can to make time for God. And then use that time wisely. We need to spend time communing with God. We spend time communing with God by approaching Him in prayer. Paul told the Christians in Colossians 4 and verse 2 to devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Unfortunately, when we pray to God, it's more of a, you know, thank you for this day and thank you for our health. And we kind of pray the same things, and we're not really alert in our prayers. We're not specific in our prayers. We don't really talk to God. We kind of talk at God, and we say the same things over and over. And one of the things I've tried to challenge myself in is to be more focused in my prayers to God. To kind of, and it doesn't have to be a formal prayer. Let's not get this down the wrong path. The Israelites, when they went out to fight against the enemy, they prayed to God while they were running into battle. And I don't think they said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, help us win this battle. Talk to God. Think about the things that you're facing, the things that you're enduring, the things that you need, the things that you feel that is missing in your life, and just talk to God about it. Commune with Him. John writes that we're to confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Going back to Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." God, I'm worried. Help me to not be worried. Help me to cast my cares upon you and to realize that you can and will take care of these things. Spend time thinking about God. It's not just this talking to God, but let God do the talking back. And He's not going to come to you in some still, small voice and say, "Tell Him this is what you should and should not be doing." But you might be surprised that when you've been praying fervently with God, that when you sit down to read the Word of God, certain things will start to jump out at you. Something that maybe you've noticed before but not given the proper attention to. But because you're focused on this problem, you've been praying to God, and it just kind of steps out to you and says, "Hey, here's the answer to that problem you had." Now stop worrying and believe in the power of God to get you through the things that you're facing. When you read the Psalms, and I encourage everyone I've done this before. I encourage you to take the time to read the Psalms. And as you're reading through, just kind of take note of how many times the psalmist, regardless of who's doing the writing, talks about meditating on the Word of God. Just to note a few in our scripture reading in Psalm 63 and verse 6, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." Psalm 77, verse 12, "I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds." In the 119th Psalm, in verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways." Verse 23, "Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes." And it goes on and on and on. Meditate on God. Maybe if you're that morning person, you get up and you begin to see the sun rise and you can meditate, you can think about the power of God and that He built the world in such a way that you can know when that sun's going to rise and you can see the beauty and all the pictures that God has painted as He prepares the day. Meditate on God. Meditate on His works and meditate on His Word. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Some translations will read there, "Think on these things." And the idea there is give proper attention to the things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise. But what do we give the most attention to? Work, school, favorite TV program, favorite video game, favorite movie series, favorite musician. We give a lot of time thinking about all of these other things that may not be wrong in and of themselves. But, that's one of the things I've tried to point out to some of the young people that I've taught throughout the years. And, I'm a big fan of various book series and movie franchises and everything and video games. But, when I was younger, I made the same mistake. I learned things and focused on learning things that had no merit or value whatsoever. And it amazes me how they can remember every character of these series and they can tell you exactly what they did in this movie and that movie and such. But then you start talking about the Bible. They can't tell you if a person is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. They don't know where these things belong because they're not giving the attention. We need to truly think on the Word of God and to give it the proper attention that it deserves. As Paul told Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." He says in verse 15 to take pains with these things, to be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. We need to be like those noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where they studied the Scriptures daily. Now let's think about this. They didn't go home and pull out their handy-dandy copy of the Old Testament and go, "Okay, this is what the prophet Isaiah has to say in chapter this and verse that." They didn't have that. They're studying the scriptures daily. Meant that they went to the synagogue every day. They put forth the effort to walk from their home after a long day of working and go to the synagogue to where they would be reading from the Word of God or have it there available for them to read. And they would request and could read and study and make sure that the things being taught were so. And we don't have time. They didn't have washing machines. They didn't have cars. They didn't have ovens that heat up in just a matter of moments. They definitely didn't have microwaves where you could zap it in about 30 seconds. But yet they made the time to read and to study the Word of God. What excuse could we possibly give that I don't have time to devote to reading and studying the Word of God and to listening to what's provided? Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. We need to make sure that when we're reading it and when we're meditating on it and we're reading these things that are good and that are helpful, that they are in fact according to the Word of God. We're diligently working that we're accurately handling the Word of truth. You may not have time to sit down and read and meditate. But let me tell you this, you can start by just listening to the Word of God. Most of us have some kind of a device in our home or in our car to where you can play something. I don't care how old it is. You can get the Bible, good old Alexander Scorby or James Earl Jones if you want to hear Darth Vader read it. You can get it on tape and CD and MP3. If you have a smartphone, the YouVersion Bible has a number of different audio Bibles that you can listen to. And you can plug it into your car however you need to plug it in. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to it. Just put it in headphones. Look at the Word of God. Let them read it to you. And then think about what you've been reading. Another way that we can make time for God, and this can be beneficial in these periods of devotion, is psalms of praise. You might be thinking, I don't like the way my voice sounds, so I'm not going to do any singing. Play someone else doing the singing. Congregation in Kleinwood in Texas has an annual singing. They record it, and you can download a lot of those recordings, different songs, and you've got congregational singing that you can listen to. There's a number of different groups. There's a guy whose YouTube channel is Acapellage. I think I've got that right. Let me double check that if you want to. And you can download him from iTunes or Google Play. You can watch him and listen to it on YouTube. And he does four-part harmony. Just one guy. He does the four different parts. It's a great way to start the day to get that focus. Make time for God. He's made a way of salvation for you. Can we not give 5, 10, 15 minutes less of television at night? I'm not talking about losing sleep. Cut out some of the afternoon clutter so you can go to bed a little bit earlier, get up a little bit earlier. Or cut out the afternoon clutter so you can sit down and you can focus on the day and you can think about these things and you can give it all to God. I need your help with this. And you can let the Word of God speak to you. When we consider the world that we're living in, there's much that hinders us. The devil is out there trying to harden our hearts with the deceitfulness of sin. He's trying to pack it tight to where the Word can't get that root really in there. He's trying to choke out our faith. And he's doing a really good job. Because we have all of these distractions that are not necessarily bad. But let's close by looking there in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look over in Hebrews chapter 12. And consider again, when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, you have all these great men and women of faith. And just so you know, kids, I did not necessarily plan this to end the class this morning with Hebrews 12 and then end the sermon this morning with Hebrews 12, but it just worked out really, really well. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, this great cloud of witnesses is Noah, Abraham, Moses, Sarah, Barak, Gideon, Samson. All these great men and women of faith that you read of in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, let us, when we see that they're rooting us on, they're surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. You see, the thing is, it may not be something that's wrong that we need to cut back on. I'm not saying we have to necessarily cut it out. But there are things in this life that we could cut back on so that we can give more time to reading and studying the Word of God so that we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you, if I said, all right, let's go out here and we're going to run 100 miles today, how many of you could do it? I don't think I could even get a half mile in running. I might could, you know, walk quickly, sure, but running, no. It takes training, effort. Now, I don't think we'll ever reach a point where we can run 100 miles in a day. But, I mean, you have people who run marathons. It's a long ways. And they run it in hours. And some, it seems like they run it without even breaking a sweat. Because they've trained. We have a race set before us of reaching heaven. There's a need for us to devote ourselves spiritually to make sure that we're able to run that race. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, those of you who have kids in my class, they're going to be talking about millions and billions of dollars and 100 miles and such. And I was just kind of presenting the idea. What if I told you you get $10,000 if you walk 100 miles? And one of them quickly was like, no, that's not worth it. But about a million or a billion. And they were all excited, especially all the guys were excited about the $10,000 for 100 miles. They were like, how long do I have? A month. 100 miles? Sure. But you get tired. Your feet would be sore. You'd have blisters on your feet. And you'd be going, $10,000 or $1 million or $1 billion. And that would keep you going. That's exactly what we find in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. We're to fix our eyes on Jesus because the going's going to get rough. It's going to be difficult. We're not given a life of ease. There's going to be struggles. There are going to be tribulations. We're going to fall. We're going to skin our knees. We're going to sprain our ankle. But we need to get back up and keep going for the prize that lies ahead. That's what kept Jesus going. When he was in the garden praying, let this cup pass from me. He always ended with, not my will, but yours be done, because he knew what needed to be done to accomplish that which had been prepared since before the foundation of this world. Let's devote our lives to giving more time, to being mindful of God, to spend time with him, to make time for God so that we can truly be his children, and we are prepared for the arduous task of running the race that is set before us. If you want to be mindful, live mindfully spiritually, then we've got to be mindful of God in all that we do. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We've got to be mindful of God every moment of our life if we want to be pleasing to him. Again, in Psalm 63 and verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Evening, morning, afternoon, make time for God. I guarantee you, the more you give in making sure that you give that time to God, you're going to find you have a lot more time that you can give to God, and you're going to receive amazing blessings. I'm not saying you're going to get rich physically. You will get rich spiritually, though. Your attitude, your life will change the more we devote to God and give attention to that. Perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why not? Why not? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he is the one that was promised by God to give his life for the salvation of mankind?
Do you understand that you have done things in your life that have separated you from God, that God is displeased with you? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you recognize, you acknowledge your sin that has separated you from God, why not step forth and give your life in devotion to Christ, to God? Confessing your sins, repenting of them, confessing Jesus Christ, and being buried in baptism. Having the old man of sin put to death in the burial of baptism, and arising to walk in newness of life, making your life God's life. Remember, Paul said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives within me." Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, you devoted yourself to God, and you started out well. You ran the race well. You were making time for God. You had the endurance that you needed to run the race set before you. But like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat and began walking on the water, you started paying more attention to everything around you, and you had less and less time for God and more time for everything else, and you find your faith beginning to falter. You find yourself anxious about many things and not concerned with the one thing that really matters. Why not devote yourself to God again by repenting of the sins that you've allowed to separate you from God again, and focus again, making time for God in your life? Whatever your situation might be, we encourage that you make your life right with God as we stand and as we sing.